Station Space, Slashdot Radio.
This is so funky.
Well, shall we start?
Of course.
Sure.
Or did we start already? Who's
to
say?
We're started.
This is CNN.
We got the part already about you, attacking like how your mom was bad to you and stuff. That's all recorded.
No, dude, that was your mom that was bad to me, remember?
No.
You haven't been reading the trolls, have
That's
you?
Right, that's right. Taco's mom. So, good afternoon, good evening.
303!
Welcome to Geeks in Space.
You didn't like that much, did you?
That was like the there we go.
Nate, I am going to break friggin' hands. Hey.
See, you give a man sliders.
Yeah.
And he
slides. A little bit out of control with
He's
it.
He's electric.
But the music was so funky today that I just couldn't help it.
It really did. Potter called it Commie House. That's pretty much what it sounded like. It's a funky little adventure. Let's see. Well, we're listening to... Well, we're creating. You're listening to Geeks in Space. We're broadcasting live. Except you're hearing
except
it later.
You won't be hearing it
We're
live.
Recording it live. You're hearing it later.
Yes.
Believe it or not, this was actually recorded in time.
No generative voices were used in the production of this cheesy radio show.
However, one can of Pepsi... was injured in the creation of this show.
Product placement. Actually, that's one thing that radio lacks. It's hard to do, like, gratuitous product placement.
Well, listen to Stern. He does it all the time. Boy!
He talks about it.
You like jelly. KY. Yeah, I was just going to say KY jelly.
Well, hey, he does commercials. You know,
I'm drinking Snapple. I can't get enough of this stuff.
That
I'm telling
great.
You.
That was great. The Snapple thing was hilarious, because when he used to do his old TV show, you used to be able to get that out of WGN, he used to have models on the show, and they would pour Snapple all over their bikini-clad bodies, and just he'd ask him, so how do you like Snapple? Oh, I love it as they're pouring Snapple all over themselves. It
and then later on,
that's pretty good.
Bugs would adhere to their bodies.
My father and I used to partake in Howard Stern together.
I thought you were going to say your father and you used to partake in pouring Snapple all over each other.
Well, you know.
Kiwi strawberry, actually.
That mold of family.
So a good Snapple story is, I don't know if you guys know this, Brad Bergman, he wrote a letter into the Snapple Corporation one time and just said, you know, your bottles say shake before using. Shouldn't it say shake before drinking? And they wrote him back and said, you know, it just does. Don't ask questions. Here's some coupons for some free Snapple. So, and now it actually does say shake before drinking. This was many years ago.
Wow.
So they may have actually taken his advice, or they probably figured it out for themselves, considering... What the hell does it mean to use Snapple? I guess you could use it to clean models' bodies.
See, that sounds like an intriguing use for Snapple.
The typical marketing thing, I think I'd make it, you know, shake before enjoying.
That's pretty good. You should work for an ad agency.
Well, I did
you
once.
Did. And look what good it did for you.
And look how we're not there now.
And it made me what I am today. Oh,
dear.
An incontinent, grumpy old man.
This is Geeks in Space, obviously. I'm Rob Commander Taco Malda.
I'm Jeff Hemos Bates.
I'm Jonathan Cowboy Needle Potter.
And I'm Nathan Mixmaster Ostendorp.
He's got such calm, soothing radio
bringing
presence.
Bringing you the lovely sounds of Geeks in Space.
And we also
up
have
next,
Casey Kasem
up
in
next,
the back.
Elton John.
He's in a closet. We're going to bring him out and punch him for a while in a little
Zoink,
bit.
Scooby!
Right. So the other fun thing is that I had eye surgery last Friday, which for those of you who have been listening and noting that I've had my eyes dilated.
And now
a few
he can
times,
see through time.
I can adjust hue, saturation, and value in real time. I also can adjust contrast and darkness. I can see into the future, shoot laser beams through concrete walls, and the X-ray vision is super pimp.
But he got Sony Trinitron eyes, so he has those two scan lines across.
Right,
he
got the metal line, the reddish wire across the center of all my vision. But for those of you who cared, I'm doing well, thank you. Many people have written in to comment on that.
And his rash is...
Dude, that's Kurt.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be talking to him because, you know, you gave it to him and all. And you should really feel guilty. It was nice of you to pay for all the salve and stuff, but...
I've never known anyone to be refused from the free clinic, but,
At some point, you know, they got to start charging you because we're a repeat customer now. Anything exciting happening in the news that we can talk about today, Mr. Hemos?
Well, let's see. One of my favorite little things today is the satellite. Or actually, NASA launched a satellite and they installed some rudimentary TCP/IP on it. So they actually today announced that they're able to ping the satellite. I find that great.
Excellent.
Now when I can load a web server on it.
It'll be soon running Quake 3 Arena. We'll have an orbiting Quake 3 Arena server.
So dude, it'll be totally out of this world.
Set your broadcasting address to space.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
If space gets its own, like,
Class A?
Level, yeah, Class A.
Theoretically, you know, we can, like, we could probably try to shoot packets at it, but it's probably smarter than that, you know, and we don't really know where to look. I just start shooting
ports
in
the satellite. See if we can drive it into the ground.
And we'll just fill up the log files until its hard drive crashes. We're the actuaries.
NSI rolls out the .spc top-level domain.
Bitches. Bitches. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's going to be, I wonder how they route in space. You know, I mean, it's got to be pretty tricky, you know.
It's probably just like wireless ether.
IEEE 802.11.
Except that everything's moving, and sometimes you can't see things.
Yeah, just like
wireless ether. I guess that's true. I mean, the internet is pretty much like that. I mean, you know, especially if you happen to be off like some of our backbones that we seem to be hanging off of. And it's, no, that router doesn't exist anymore.
Well, the thing is, too, is that, you know, NASA has placements everywhere, so they never actually lose communication with all satellites. And everyone's just like, oh, well, we have
you
to
might
broadcast
have to route
from the Japanese.
Do some routing.
You know, something like that. But
it's pretty cool.
I found that pretty neat. The satellite was launched on April 10, I think. It went up there and it's doing well. I don't know exactly what the hell the satellite does, but
it replies to
UOSAT-12.
It replies to pings.
Oh, really? That's all it was
sent
up there?
Well, it was an experimental thing. It costed $8 billion.
And to spy on us.
Yeah. It pings us. Ow.
You remember those chips that were implanted in you as a child?
That was just you, dude.
Oh.
But that was all. That was a whole different problem.
And, let me tell you, Potter, that those chips they implanted during the 80s, they could have made them a little bit more discreet. I mean, the whole left side of your head's kind of bulging and, you've
and
got cooling
that,
fans.
That whirring noise coming out of it.
Just keep the magnets away, dude.
Watch this. We can erase his head.
What?
Potter online.
Yeah, they really should have disguised the Commodore 64 a little bit better.
You know, I do have to say the placement in the small of his back, though, works out well.
It's good because, well, the thing is that the extension cords weren't long enough, you know, so he walks around and he unplugs and collapses.
Wow.
Crap, we unplugged Potter again.
No, disassemble Potter 5!
This is going to take forever to F-suck.
Nah, dude, you've only got like 16 megs. It's not too bad. Let's see, what else do we have? Well, there was an interesting story. Somebody had submitted they had installed the new Riser patches into one of their devel kernels. Is Riser just a module? I didn't catch that if it was source or not. I thought it was source.
Yeah, it's source. It's a it's an unofficial patch.
Right. It's not in the actual 2.4 trees, but, you know, download. SUSE's the guys that have been working on it, right?
Yeah. I mean,
they're the main thing. Well, the interesting part about it was, as far as I know, this is really the first time that besides, you know, hello mom, you know, copyright messages, that kind of stuff, there actually was a sponsorship in the boot up sequence. It was mp3.com was one of them.
That's pretty funny.
And there was another .com website, and SUSE.com obviously being one of them. They being, you know, probably among the more legitimate
of
the sponsors.
So did we see the Dust Bunny? Because UFMedia.com is...
UF Media Inc. isn't it?
UFMedia.com is their
is that it?
Their website.
Yeah. Let's not talk about user friendly. That can only end in sadness and flame mail from the fans, from the UFies. The deal was that these sponsorships were showing up in boot screens for some of the more recent patches, which, you know, on one hand, you know, you got to sit back and think, you know, cool, you know, these companies, you know, MP3.com is sponsoring Linux development.
This boot brought to you by Lilo and SUSE.
Right. And that's the thing, you know, if it's like SUSE and Red Hat, you know,
giving
I'm like,
you a more German day.
I'm kind of like thinking, you know, that's all right. But then you start seeing MP3.com and you're just like, well, did they write code? How does this work? And then, well, it's sponsored by. But how long before, you know, you boot up and, you know, it's like, you know, you get commercials and, you know.
Debian.gnu/Linux brought to you in part by Pepsi.
Pepsi.
The choice of a GNU generation.
The choice of the GNU generation.
But if, you know, I guess
that's the best you could do with product placement. Yeah.
Ray Charles will soon sing the RMS song.
You got the right. Ray the software.
The techno remix of that is still classic.
Uh-huh.
The 8 kHz.au.
Yeah. Well, if the modules are source code and you don't like it, you can go
in
and take it out.
Them out. Yeah. So.
Or put in lane photos, as Potter probably will.
The Lane ASCII. And most of the readers, at least the comments that I've been reading, were pretty much in the same vein. You know, you don't like it, you comment it out. And that's pretty cool. I wonder what would happen, you know, Red Hat, you know, they release the next version of their kernel. Would they take those sponsorship messages out? That's all weird. And then, you know, if everybody starts doing it, you know, and I mean, Donald Becker alone should be able to put like 40 different commercials. Like, here's the Donald Becker commercial block. And my favorite comment, of course, was, you know, I haven't rebooted in like 87 days. You know, do I care? That's really the only people who are going to be seeing that are sysadmins, which I guess is an interesting target audience. I guess sysadmins listen to MP3s.
Probably. I think it's just, you know, another way that they can stick their, you know, bumper stickers all over your screen.
Sure. Well, you know, it's just in boot up, you know? It's not like, you know, it's on your desktop all the time, like, you know, the free bandwidth services, which just stick a banner ad on your page, you know, or free web hosting, which it's in your face all the time. It's not like it's a big deal. It's just weird, and I wonder where that's going to actually end up.
Actually, that's, now that I think about it, it's not that new for SUSE. They altered the kernel source quite a bit. I don't know if they still do, but they used to make it so the version line would come in a different color when it printed out to the screen and do other little things like that. Nothing major, and of course, you know, they distributed the source with it. You know, and they just said, well, you know, this is, you know, the kernel with our modifications.
I like the idea of having a patch, which is, you know, the remove advertisements patch, you know, which you have to run after you download your kernel source tree. You know, and of course, it's another thing, you know, there are a lot of plugs in the comments. I think, actually, my name is somewhere in the source code. Rusty stuck it in there one time. So I'm like, actually, I'm in the kernel tree source somewhere. It's like, yeah, I'm so cool. Anybody reading this, you know, if you're having an IPO or something, they'll think that I'm a developer.
I know, they'll get you on their friends and family list.
They'll think I'm a qualified hacker.
The source tree.
Speaking of MP3.com, they lost their lawsuit, which was over their Beambox.
Of course, we still don't. Oh, it was over the Beambox.
I think so.
Okay.
I hope so. If not, we're talking out of our butts. We may be.
No, it was over the my.mp3.com service.
Which was their Beam.
Yeah.
I mean, fundamentally, you know, it's a cool idea. You know, you log in, you know, you buy a CD from Cheap CDs. Was it the place that I worked with?
Yeah, or CD Now.
CD Now, too? Oh, cool. I buy many CDs from both of those guys.
And it would unlock it. And,
yeah, and then you buy your CD, and then it would automatically tell your mp3.com account that you bought the CD, and the MP3s would be in your account, and you could stream them.
Which is a good idea.
Yeah, why wait? You know, and the record companies are getting theirs because, you know, you're buying the CDs, and you don't have to wait for FedEx.
I've got about probably 40 CDs on mymp3.com, and I should give out my password before they shut it down.
Well, and that's the problem, is that it's such an insecure system it gets a lot of problems. I mean, there was several people who've written programs that intercept it and then, you know, trap the music. It's not actually an MP3 format, though, right? I thought they were like, they had different bit rates. Though,
it's really
so
easy. Actually, I did this where you write a Perl client, you make it think that it's Real Player, and then you take the stream and you put it to a file, and then you burn it to a CD, and you have your CD instantly. I figured it was legal because I paid for the CD, right? You know, the RIAA says I don't own that music, but I didn't make a copy for anyone. I just made the CD for myself.
Well, actually, that is legal. If you own a copy, you can make. If you own it.
But my copy had not yet arrived.
Oh, all right. That's true.
It's a questionable situation.
But, you know, it's same-day CD without leaving the house.
I think the biggest issue with that is that, and I know people who did this, they would just be like, well, there's six guys, and the other thing that the VMIT stuff would let you do is you could put an arbitrary CD into your drive, spin it up, it goes out and says, all right, I got this CD. You know, it wasn't just for bought new CDs. So what happens is, you know, you get a dozen guys, they share an account, each of them rips all of their CDs, and a dozen guys each have, you know, each other's 150 CDs. You have one account with a shared password, and
lots
ta-da,
of MP3s.
Piracy.
Well, I mean, I given the way the current legal structure works, I mean, what they were doing, I mean, the MP3 was going to get nailed for it. But really what...
So too bad.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a great idea, and I think it's a really cool... I think it's where things will go eventually, but we have to change the whole framework of things to make it much more the here. I pay a penny and a half to listen to this song.
Or I sign up for $20 a month.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I don't know. Whoever gets listened to the most gets the most payout of that pool.
Right. It'll be interesting to see where all that goes. The related, while we're on the subjects of MP3s, Metallica and Napster. the latest addition to that, which is pretty darn crazy, is apparently they printed out the names of how many users?
335,455, I think.
Now, was that all... Excuse me, was that all of them? That burp brought to you by Pepsi.
That was all the ones that they could find.
Right.
And then they went to the Napster company.
Now, my question is, were those people that just had Metallica songs? Or had
that was Metallica.
Just Metallica songs.
Yeah.
353. I didn't think there were 353,000 Napster users. You know?
Oh, Napster has a gigantic user base.
I mean, whenever I log in, you know, maybe I'm missing something. You know, I'm only seeing a few thousand, you know, but maybe that's just like people surfing or something. I'm kind of confused there.
Well, I wonder if they just lingered on for like
a
week.
Connect
to
Napster.
Something.
Somebody connect to Napster and see how many people are up there.
All right, just a second.
Oh, I'm not using that, dude. I've got Metallica MP3s here.
Cowboy Neil has
MP3s that he paid for.
At least on my hard drive, as long as Steely Dan isn't listening, I think we'll be okay. 4,510 users.
See, that doesn't strike me as how do you get.
Well, because you sit and you watch it for a month, you know.
So this is something they probably got me too. You know, I went out and I downloaded like 5 MP3s like a month ago.
Yeah,
cool. But the interesting thing is they apparently printed them out and they brought them somewhere and they're gonna try to sue them all. You know, all 300,000 of them.
And let's
They're not going to sue them. They want them
evidence.
Banned. They want Napster to ban all of
those
accounts.
That's, okay, well,
or
I can
also
see that.
Go after Napster.
You know, because, you know, creating a new account is going to take 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You know? Ooh, I'm not, you know, hey, maybe I could get Commander Taco back.
I already have, like, 4 accounts because I kept forgetting my password. And trying to look up your password is too much work. Just make a new account.
Whee! Here's 7. Yeah, it's, that's interesting. You know, you ban 300,000 users, that accomplishes nothing. That's dumb because they'll just create new ones. I still am impressed that they were able to find 300,000 hard drives with Metallica songs on them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any. I've got Metallica CDs, like 3 of them, actually.
Or maybe not the target demographic, though. Like, my younger brother, I think, would be one of the guys who just sits on there all week with, you know, Metallica MP3s trying to find that bootleg concert from,
true.
1982.
Well, Metallica's an interesting one because so much of their following was built up in the 80s by playing underground. You know, I mean, the bootleg tapes for Metallica were huge in the mid-80s.
Well, Metallica also has demonstrated before a propensity towards suing, you know, because it's like there was some... It was bootlegs from their Bay Area times, like way back in the early 80s, and they sued over, you know, that being distributed and stuff like that. So they're definitely, you know, this isn't the first time that they've taken legal means to do something.
Yeah, again, they're probably justified somehow, you know, if they actually found 300,000 people who were serving Metallica MP3s. I'm still amazed by that number.
Well, see, I don't know. I mean, in my mind, that's free advertising.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say that MP3 quality music is more like singles than it is getting a physical disc, because people still really like the package.
People really like treble.
Yep. No fake.
Treble.
And
it's
drums not being sounding like...
Yep. MP3s are great because you can put 9,000 CDs on a 40 gig hard drive. MP3s suck because then it sounds like shit.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, even, you know, on a machine that I have some of my Eno CDs ripped onto, it's just like, I mean, Eno in particular is someone who's like, well, here, DJ the Shadow. Upper end is just going to be crap. Shadow, I mean,
anything
even Moby.
That's all samples with, like, the crackling and stuff, you know, the pops and stuff. It's all very authentic
it's
sounding.
It's ruined.
Yeah, and then it all sounds.
And I think that depends, too, on which encoder you use and stuff like that, you know, optimizing it, but... Yeah, it's still, you know, it's still not CD quality. It's compressed. It's a lossy compression. That's how it is.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting point. I mean, DECSS, because of that whole controversy, has got an interesting side effect to it. A rip from a DVD, you know, these are essentially perfect copies. Mm-hmm. You know, then it's just a matter of, you know, you got to ram it through some sort of MPEG compression in order to distribute it reasonably, but you don't gotta. You know, I mean, you could conceivably rip the exact copy.
You could conceivably use waves, too.
You could theoretically transfer the full wave, too, but nobody's afraid of, you know, people transferring a 600 megs for an album. The reason that MP3 became so successful was because it had 50-to-1 compression. You know, 50-to-1 was...
Well, and I think the thing is, too, is that as time goes on and broadband becomes more and more... I mean, I think as broadband becomes more ubiquitous, that's why the MPAA is starting now, because they see what happened to the RIAA.
Well, it happens first in, you know, just like the Internet itself. You know, it happened first in colleges.
Yeah.
It gained its first major publicity in dorms, where, students have
T1s
where they sit on and they distribute porn. Not that we ever did that.
No. I never distributed porn.
See, the college environment is where the student has a lot of bandwidth because they're sitting on...
Client.
Yeah, Zork. Telnet into the name Zork server. That was great.
Log in Zork, password Zork. You are in front of a house. There's a mailbox here.
Your shell was Ben Zork.
Yep. The Zork shell. Anyway,
isn't
enough
that
for
ZSH?
Fond reminiscence.
See, but in colleges, the students, you know, they've got a lot of bandwidth that they're sitting there on ResNet or whatever, but they don't, you know, college students don't have money. So, you know, of course, when you have a lot of bandwidth and no money, you're
gonna pirate.
You're gonna go get free stuff. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
That's right. I need background images, movies, and Metallica songs.
And graphic software.
Yeah, that's right.
And look over here to HoloCAD for free.
3D. Well, what was the 3D Studio was always one of those hot wares apps because it was so huge back then.
Yeah. I remember floating around with
circulated
that.
Around a lot.
Back in the days when I used software that needed to be pirated and had no money. These days, you know, I don't have any commercial software, really. I've got, like, EverQuest. I think that's the only commercial software. No, Accelerated X. I have one commercial program.
Netscape, kind of.
Yeah, but that's free.
Yeah.
Well, no, wait, I'm using it for commercial use. Do they still have that license?
Yeah, I think so, but, you know... I don't know, where did the line come when you were using it for commercial use?
I like to think that I've brought new users to Netscape, so I've made it worthwhile for them to let me have my copy of Netscape, you know, because people use it every day because of they just read Slashdot all day.
Yay.
Yay. And then they email me to tell me that I suck. Or that my mom does.
What else do we want to talk about in the news department now that we've trounced MP3s?
Let's see.
I like the story on bad game design.
Yeah,
that was a good one. There were a lot of good comments on that.
I like the idea for inebriation factor as a new challenge for racing.
You know,
games.
I totally have gotten into that since playing EverQuest, is having your character be drunk.
Just now, like in real life.
Granted, I made myself really nauseous watching the screen go back and forth. But
you get a fisheye effect.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, I like Kurt. Kurt is a very entertaining Mario Kart 64 player under the influence of alcohol.
Kurt's always entertaining under the influence of alcohol.
You have a great picture of him with a martini in one hand.
It's on Nate's 21st birthday.
Yep,
playing a racing game.
He's playing a racing game
in some arcade at the Bob. You know, with a big.
Hey, let me finish my story. All right. So anyway, he's sitting there and he's playing the game. And you can see he's racing through there, and in his left hand he has a little martini glass, and it's about half full. It's just it's the perfect picture of Kurt because he looks so calm.
That's right. And Kurt thanks you. I don't know how well he did with his recipes this week. Apparently, people fell down on the homework assignment, which means I guess we're gonna have to
bad listeners.
We're gonna have to come up with something more obnoxious because apparently you guys get off more on being obnoxious than helpful. I don't know. He's still getting copies of the number zero.
Excellent.
What you could do is in all fairness, you all should be visiting www.thepope.org, which
ask for forgiveness.
Go there and email him with additions that you think should go into thepope.org.
Yeah, he's always looking for suggestions and improvements, and that's your homework this week.
And ASCII porn.
Also, you should ASCII porn. critique his HTML.
That's great. Email Kurt ASCII porn,
please.
Kurt@thepope.org.
Yep, you have to critique his HTML skills and his graphic design skills. And you can also, he's got his little indulgences form, so you can fill out, if you've sinned.
Which we know you have.
You've all sinned. But it actually will accept credit cards. So, you could go in and, for like, what does he charge now? 50 cents? Or is it arbitrary?
It's like $5. Bucks.
$5 for a non-deadly sin, $10 for a deadly sin.
That's Kurt. Yep. But
last weekend he was running an adulterer special, though.
$3 for all adultery. I cost me hundreds. Go play with that. You don't necessarily have to actually, click through the button and put in your credit card, but you could.
You should.
For your sins.
Did you, back on the Metallica thing again, did you guys see paylars.com?
Yeah, that was
that
was hilarious. Somebody set up a website where you could send money to Lars. It's like, I have your MP3s. Here's $3.
And they had collected, I think, about $216 the last time I was there.
Yeah, Lars is raking it in.
Yep.
See, I don't like Lars, but I might have done it if it was Pay James.
And what's his face when he died? That's when Metallica sucked. So who cares about Lars?
Actually, I think it's when they sold to Andover that they started. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but they
never
have the
mind.
Cubicles down the hall from you. It's really loud over
it's
there.
The Metallica guys. They always hog all the snacks.
They're not sharing. I want the. Why do they get 21-inch monitors and we only get 17?
I think they're behind all the flame in the John Katz articles.
They're making all their money suing. All we're doing is writing stories that get people mad at us. Yeah. What were we talking about?
Bad game design.
Bad game design.
I remember I had a comment. My comment is, I read the list and the list was great, but I think there are a few things that were omitted, and those were the bad game designs that were actually made into games, like Deer Hunter.
Like the fishing game. See, the game's like, here's a pole. Simulate catching a fish.
Which is also known as Deer Hunter, but worse.
Okay then,
Rob. You should talk about the filthy critic.
The filthy,
gosh, the filthy critic.
I don't have the URL
awesome.
Offhand. You should dig up the URL for it.
It was.
I think it's just the filthy critic.
No, it was
not. It's something something something.
It was something slash filthy,
critic.
And it was.
I'll find it. Just give me a sec.
The filthy critic was some nice woman named Jessica out of the middle of nowhere just emailed me this thing and said, check this out, and it was. Funny is all get out. It was
filthy.
It's a filthy critic.
Yeah, somebody
it
should pop that up. It's on my laptop, but my battery is dead.
Cassidy
again.
Would respond. I would.
Yeah, Potter.
I bet if you searched Google for it, it'd show
more,
up. Here we go.
I will say nice things now.
Potter, you have various quotes from the filthy critic committed to memory. Why don't you spout them out for us?
I'm trying to think of.
I like the Sally Fields comment.
Well, I like the one where, the filthy critic, he goes off about how Hollywood screenwriters think they know how, the poor people of America, how they feel and how they act. And the filthy critic says, no, you don't. Let me tell you, we're poor, we're pissed off, we're tired, and we're getting drunk.
The URL for that is www.bigempire.com/filthy.
It's
highly
worth
your
time.
Critic, it is probably one of the best movie reviews. I mean, it sure beats Leonard Maltin.
It's kind of like Old Man Murray on film.
Right.
Yeah,
Old
exactly.
Man Murray for movies. I still like Ain't It Cool News, but, Ain't It Cool News is not cutting it anymore. You know, I don't know.
Why? What's
you know, there's so much stuff on there now that there's not really, and they're not covering any of the movies that I'm really interested in. So, and when they do, it's so spaced out with other stuff that I don't care about.
The latest review is called Where the Heart Sucks, and it's about the movie Where the Heart Is, and my favorite line was, I will single out Sally Fields for her five-minute melodrama. She makes a sugar-baked ham out of herself by out-acting everyone else. I say we spiral cut her ass and eat for weeks.
Yeah. The filthy critic, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
He's got a great rant at the end, too, about the film industry, or don't contact me or something.
Oh, that's, yeah. It's
that's
you just like, yeah, I guess he gets email from people, hey, I loved your take on this, blah, 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 the standard marketing stuff. Don't email me. It's obvious you haven't read past the first paragraph.
Yep.
Just screaming. Do you have the URL in there, Nate?
He already said it.
www.bigempire.com/filthy.
Oh. Although, for those of you who are listening, you could have rewound. It's the advantage of it being radio or being net radio. You don't have
instead,
to, like, say
you
things
heard
twice.
It twice.
Or you can click here.
Does that actually work?
Click now to go to thefilthycritic.com.
We don't know, dude. This is in beta.
Yeah, your browser may not support this. I recommend that you go get the plugin.
Browser, we're sitting in a room. What do I click on? Oh, you're talking about the listeners.
Yeah. Them.
The ones who aren't listening to this live.
The one who think that the voices inside of their computer are highly amusing.
No, they don't. It still amazes me that we have listeners. People email and like, I really like Geeks in Space. Can you talk about anime more? And it's just like, we didn't know people actually
listened. Good job with the listener script, Potter. We've really fooled Rob.
Thank you for adding a small little bit of pleasure to my life, Mr. Potter. I get very little flame mail. I get to, you know, Slashdot has probably 1,000 times the audience of Geeks in Space, but I probably get 1,000 times more nice mail about Geeks in Space.
You guys love us more.
You are more leet.
And we love you.
You're like the winnowing the chaff thing that you learn about in Sunday school?
You are definitely the wheat. And you'll be brought into the barn.
You're also more beautiful than those other ugly, unwashed
smart
swine.
And then they'll be ground into flour and made into bread. Oh,
and you will be tasty bread. Tasty bread.
Then toasted.
Right.
Little do people know that Geeks in Space is where we make our millions.
Cannibalism. Lucrative as hell.
Anyway,
you know those online food stores, you know, where you can buy like fancy
Wet
meat,
Van and all that.
Or? Well, like more like the upscale ones.
Oh, you know, Omaha Steak and all that. All
right. You know, Omaha Steak is people.
Filet.com.
Wine.com is people.
Geeks in Space is made of people.
No.
Blood, it sweat, and tears.
From the makers of Silent Red.
We bring you Nate Witch.
Tasty Nate snacks.
So I'm kind of depressed because I've now basically caught up.
Because my life has no meaning. Oh, wait.
None of our lives have any meaning, dude. I mean,
we're an existential nightmare.
Right. We live in a society where the vast majority of our base needs, you know, being food and shelter, are met. You know, what point really is there after that? You know, except, you know, downloading porn off the internet.
Creating stupid websites.
Creating stupid websites.
Yeah, there's that part. Although I'm kind of hungry, so I'm feeling...
You're not feeling like that particular need is met? I ate a granola bar and drank a Pepsi.
Pepsi.
What brand granola bar did you eat, Robert W. Malda?
I don't know. It had...
Nature's Valley.
It had, like, Butterfingers chopped up in it.
Oh,
it was,
Kudos?
No, it wasn't a Kudos. It was...
He doesn't know what the hell he's talking
about. It might
about.
Have been
he
a
ate a
Let's
Kudos.
Just plug them all. Quaker
granola.
What else can we
Chewy.
Plug? What else can we plug?
Sun Valley Farms granola. It'll make you regular.
So I'm kind of sad though because I've now reached the end of basically Potter's Dragon Ball Z DVDs, That the end of Potter's collection coincides with where I started watching on Cartoon Network, which basically means I've now seen, excluding, you know, the end of the Frieza cycle, to the end of what I guess they're showing in America right now, or what you can see in America without jumping through hoops, I'll have seen it all, and I'm kind of sad about that. Mostly I'm sad about the fact that I have dedicated, I don't know, 50 hours of my life that I can't get back to watching Dragon Ball Z DVDs. Yeah.
Which he's come to this realization after he had the eye surgery. Now he can see through time. And he realizes that he'll never see that time again.
If these trends continue, Bob will see 100 hours of Dragon Ball Z in the next year.
That's almost... Well, I guess
Dragon Ball Z
is
good, though, because you can read your email while you watch it. It's
Dragon
like,
Ball
it's
Z does not
noise.
Take all of your...
It's
you know,
a low process, low CPU usage process.
Dragon Ball Z runs in nice mode.
That's right. Nice negative 20.
Background's easy.
Now I'm on to Battle Athletes. I'm halfway through that now, and I've also got the Macross Plus thing, which Potter... I've seen before, actually, but I got the DVD, so I'm excited
Cowboy Bebop.
You gotta get me Cowboy Bebop.
Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about the Cowboy Bebop, and I want to be part of the cool crowd.
Is this one Cowboy is, Bebop,
oh,
Bebop,
just 2 and 3 come out on June 6th.
Really?
It's Cowboy
wow, that's pretty
Bebop.
Cool. Evangelion comes out on DVD like in the next few weeks, too, and a bunch of people have said that that's totally worth our time, too.
Also, I've heard that the new Trigun is really good.
It's I'm like not familiar with
La Blue Trigun. Girl comes out.
Is La Blue Girl on DVD?
Yes, it is. I haven't bought it.
Maybe. Well, you should. There's only like 4, right?
But, it's hentai. People are like, oh, you don't want to go there.
Yeah, that hentai thing is a whole place you don't want to go, but it's really cool.
Little girls and tentacled creatures and...
Oh, jeez.
No, it's
all
very
right,
breathless.
All right, that's enough.
Physics. No, see...
The first
the
episode
is,
was really bad, but we didn't let that stop us.
We braved onward through
we created
foul
four
weather.
More. We knew that there were Japanese panty-sniffing men to state...
All right, let's get offensive.
Okay,
as
all
we
right.
always do at the end of Geeks in Space, we get nice and offensive so that we can leave a bad aftertaste in your mouth.
This offensive Japanese slur brought to you by Sony.
Oddly enough, Sony.
The really funny part is that we're obviously not actually getting paid for any of these plugs. We're just making them up, and people are just going to be like, "Listen, oh my God, Geeks in Space is like all this sell." And if it was only true,
if it were only true,
if we had subsidized Sony and Pepsi, and
I know the Sony plugs we're making, we're going to have to pay.
Hey, yeah, it would be nice if we could even get Sony on tech support.
Yeah, if they just answer the call when you have bio problems, when a key falls off, when your battery stops working,
your hard drive dies.
Yeah, my hard drive has started dying, and for no apparent reason, I started having random interrupt conflicts between my hard drive and my video card.
Oh, yeah, I started to get that.
It's just, it's been working for months, and then I was like, poof, all right, that's it. You're going to start having errors now. It's just like, no! I need 100% reliability on one computer! All right, we're back to the happy music.
Thanks for listening to
the
Geeks
best part
Space.
Is watching Jeff's face turn really red.
I cannot friggin' stand this song.
Whoa! Leaving you guys on speed! Woo! Catch you guys next week.